Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 1, which can be found on or around page 990 of the Church Bibles. That's Matthew 22, starting at verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Thanks, Dan. And now Mike's going to come and tell us all about it.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be here. We're back in Matthew Gospel, and Matthew 22. It will help you to have that open. So let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's Word. Thy God, all of your Word is important, absolutely unique. It comes from you. In fact, as we look at this parable this morning, a parable that so many people would have heard from Jesus' own lips all those years ago, we thank you that it is as relevant today as it was then. Give us hearts which are ready to hear from you, we pray. Amen. Oh, sorry, there's someone at the door. Well, we're back in Matthew, and we've been working our way through Matthew on and off for quite a few years now. So we're back in today and for the next little while in these next few chapters. And as we come to it today, it's a pretty straightforward parable that Jesus tells us. He actually gives us sort of the big summary at the end, doesn't he? Verse 14. "For many are invited, but few are chosen." A parable that shows us that lots of people are invited into God's kingdom, lots and lots, but sadly, many won't accept. And this morning, as we get our minds and hearts around these realities, they're important. It's important to see how they fit into our world today. But actually, Matthew and Jesus, and then Matthew as he recorded it, actually wants it to be much more personal than that. Because we're going to think, who did Matthew first, Jesus say these words to? Just flick it backwards in your Bible to chapter 21 and verse 23. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. And that's who Jesus was talking to, even when we get to this parable of chapter 22. You see, he was in the temple courts, and he was teaching to anybody who would listen. Men, women, boys and girls. But he particularly mentions the leaders of the Jewish religion as they come to him, the chief priests and the elders. The very people who were supposedly the upstanding members of God's team. I mean, their reputation was model Jews. People looked up to them. They were on God's side. And Jesus tells us this parable this morning for them, as a type of spiritual health check. to ask the question, are these Jewish leaders who look like they're on God's team, really on God's team? On God's side? Apparently, the NHS recommends that anybody over 40 should have a health check every 5 years. I'm not sure the NHS could probably manage that at the moment, but that's what you're supposed to do, that's have a physical. It's a good thing to do. Well, this morning, God isn't going to give us a physical, he's giving us a spiritual health check. And he's asking us, just like the Pharisees back then, are you, am I, really on God's team? Really heading to that heavenly banquet that Jesus talks about. So let's get into this parable and my first point this morning. Many people are invited into God's kingdom. Let me just read from verse 2 again. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. And here we have a picture that all of Jesus' listeners would have understood. It's a wedding. We understand it, don't we? But it was on a grand scale because this is the wedding for the king's son. And wedding banquets back then didn't just sort of happen for an afternoon and evening like they do today. They literally went on for a number of days, even for ordinary people. Never mind a wedding for the son of a king. And verse 3, it hints at something that Jesus' hearers would have all understood. See, the people invited to the wedding, they weren't just invited on the day, they were invited a good time beforehand, and they'd RSVP and say, can you come or not? And then on the day itself, the servants would go out and say, right then, come, it's time. Time to come to the banquet now. They didn't quite have the calendars and the PDAs that we have, and that's the way their culture worked. It's about to start. So you have the first invitation, then you have the second invitation. That's the one we hear about here. And the invitation is clear. Come. But they refuse to come. So the invitation is issued again, verse 4. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. Now, this invitation is now the third invitation that is sent. And that wasn't normal. The fact that they'd have refused to come after the second one was actually the height of rudeness. But he said, no, come, the third invitation. The kitchens have got all the food ready. Everything is ready. Come. The message was clear. And it definitely got there. You know, mail strikes did not get in the way of this invitation getting there. The invitation wasn't just made once, it was issued many times. And then later on in the parable, verse 9. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. See, it wasn't just the powerful and the religious elites who were invited, but anybody on the streets. They included the good and the bad. The upstanding members of society, all the way through to those who were sadly forgotten. And the king says, come to my banquet. And for all of us, it's important to remember that God invites loads of people to his heavenly banquets. But not just loads of people, but all sorts of people as well. From the rich and privileged, through to the ordinary man and woman, through to those who are sadly pushed away in society. And it's great here at Cornerstone, we do have all sorts of people in our church family. But there's also a challenge here as well. Because it's easy to know in our minds that God welcomes all sorts of different people into his family. But then, just have a moment and think of those people you really struggle with. It might be a family member, it might be someone at work or your neighbours. And if you're honest with ourselves, if you saw them walk through the door, part of you would be glad, but part of you might go, oh, crumbs. Well, God is saying to them, come. I want you to come. So many people are invited into God's kingdom. But then the next point is where the rubber really starts to hit the road, because many who think they've accepted the invitation don't make it. Many who think they've accepted the invitation don't make it. And let's do the religious leaders first in verse 5. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field and another to his business. For ordinary, mundane reasons, they ignored the call to come. And let's not forget, these people had initially already accepted the invitation. They'd replied and they'd said they would be there. I mean, these are the people who look like they're on God's team. They went to the temple loads. They talked about God loads. They helped the poor. They even prayed on the street corner so other people could see them praying. They were fine, upstanding religious members of society. Role models that other people wanted to be like. But when push came to shove, when the invitation to come to the banquet came and it said, come now, a decision had to be made. And did you notice in verse 5 what won the day? His field. His business. It's a decision, isn't it? God's priorities or our priorities? Their fields, their business, their sporting pursuits, their hobbies, their dreams and aspirations, their family, they came first. Even their way of doing God was more important than God's way of doing God. And as we touched upon earlier, the king, or in the real world, God, was so gracious to them. Even after the affront of the second invitation, he still said, come. They were beyond rude by ignoring that second invitation. But then God sends the servants out again. He gives the details of the food and celebrations and says, come. And this time, they don't just say no. What do? They beat up the servants. They kill them. Well, there are people in our world who look like they've accepted God's invitation. But the reality is very different. Really, they're just living for themselves with a religious veneer, hiding what's really going on in their hearts. And perhaps they don't even realize it. Now, and perhaps they may even go to church, and they're not part of a church which will read something like Matthew 22, which is so challenging. They never really looked at it. But God in his mercy this morning is saying to us, look at it. He's saying, please don't be like these men and women. Don't have a veneer of Christianity when actually in reality, in your heart, you're still living for yourself. Have a spiritual health check. But then we come to the second group who are invited. Those from the roads and the streets in verse 10. Please look with me there. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Sorry, I'm reading on. Verse 11. But then the king came in to see the guests, and he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without the wedding clothes, friend? And the man was speechless. See, the royal servants came out into the streets and the corners and said, come to the king's banquet. And people, wow, I've been invited to the king's banquet. They'd have rushed home, had a quick wash, put on some clean clothes, and would have gone to the king's banquet. But this man, verse 11, he welcomed the invitation, but he didn't stop to think, do I need to get out of my steel toe cap boots and my work jacket? I'm going to a banquet, for crying out loud. The answer is obviously yes, but he didn't. He just thought he could just go into the king's presence, however. He just thought it wasn't necessary. He accepted the invitation, and he got within to smelling distance of the banquet. You can imagine the smell of the food just wafting out from the party venue, but he didn't make it in. And here we have another angle on the spiritual health check. Because many of us here, we know that salvation comes from trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the invitation. Trusting him is the essential key. But when we trust Jesus, that trust, it will always impact our lives. It's inevitable. Sometimes in big ways, other times in lots of small ways. Trusting Jesus changes us. But this man, he wanted the party. He wanted heaven. But to be changed by God? Nah. Not for me, thank you very much. He didn't want the responsibilities and joys of belonging to God's people. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? Depending on which survey you look at, it seems like the majority of people in the UK believe in God. But it's also very clear, isn't it, that the vast majority don't want the responsibilities that come with such a belief. If you like, they want the party without having to get ready for the party. But at the end of time, God will be turning them away from the pearly gates unless that changes. And again, this is not just a warning to everyone out there. It's a warning to us too. Are we only interested in getting to heaven in the future? Or does God matter to us right now, today? Are we ready and allowing God to change us to become more like Christ? These are important questions to ask ourselves from time to time. Even if you've been a Christian for years, these Jewish leaders had been supposedly on God's side for years, but look how wrong they were. And this is important because we come to point three. Because the alternative to a great banquet is great judgment. And Jesus here, he paints a very black and white picture, doesn't he? On one side, you have the great banquet, a celebration provided by God the Father and his Son. And on the other side, verse 7, the king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Or verse 13, and then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the stark reality of God's judgment, also known as hell. Now, I don't think Jesus here is trying to describe what hell is like necessarily. He's just saying, look, the judgment is coming, and it's very, very real. Many people will sadly face it. And whether somebody truly accepts the invitation or not to God's banquet, it matters. I mean, in the real world, if your friends invited you to their wedding and you didn't turn up, I mean, they might be a bit upset with you. In fact, in some cases, depending on the service, it might actually spoil the friendship. But the consequences here are far more lasting and life-changing. See, this is why Jesus came into the world, isn't it? To tell us parables like this, to die on the cross, to rise to new life, so that invitation to eternal life can be freely given to us, so we can accept it. A spiritual health check is so important. But let's finish where Jesus finishes, and very briefly, those who genuinely accept are the chosen. Please look with me at verse 14. For many invited, but few are chosen. The few truly belong to God. So much so that Jesus says, chosen. Now, we know Jesus isn't stupid. He just told the parable where basically, whether we get into heaven or not, get to the heavenly banquet, depends on our response to the invitation. But at the same time, Jesus can also say, as he sums up this parable, chosen. To quote somebody else, to be chosen does not mean to be thrust into the kingdom apart from our decision and regardless of our conduct. We decide to follow Jesus, but at the same time, Jesus can say, you are chosen by God. It is a mystery, but it is true. But then the real question is, how do I know that I'm not like those religious leaders that he's been talking to? Or that man who got thrown out at the door to the banquet? And as I did this spiritual health check, as I was preparing this week, at times it's not comfortable. Because I know there are times when I'm more similar to those religious Jewish leaders than I like to imagine, than I like to think, or even admit. I know that my priorities are sometimes more important than God's priorities. Fundamentally, I know I'm a sinner. And sin always pushes God away. Well, it comes down to our hearts, doesn't it? Does my heart, does your heart want to put God first in your life? Want that forgiveness that Jesus offers? Wants to worship God the Father, Son, and Spirit, mind, body, and soul? And in that daily heat of living the Christian life, there are many times when I know my heart doesn't always want that. But in the quiet still, knowing our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus, and having the Holy Spirit at work in your life, I know that is what my heart desires. That is my greatest wish. And I know it is the greatest wish of many of us here. That's a great place to be. Christians are people who know they fail and come back to the Father by the foot of the cross saying, I know you love me and I want to love you in return. Even if my love for you goes up and down more than an elevator in a tall building, I want God's priorities to be my priorities. And even in those times when I mess up and my priorities become more important, I know in the dip in my heart, really, that is what I want, God, not me. Later this week, in the weekly email, I put a bit more on this testing your spiritual temperature. And I'll warn you now, for some of us, our consciences are too sensitive. And we might be sat there worrying when actually we may not need to. But it is possible that some of us need this spiritual health check that Jesus has given us this morning. And if that is you, know this. Jesus is still holding out that invitation. He's saying, come to me. Not on your terms, but on my terms. But come. You are most welcome. Let's pray. Father, you are a holy and perfect God, and yet you say, come. Come to a whole bunch of sinners. It is amazing that you do that. It's amazing that Jesus won that invitation for us at the cross. And Father, we ask that you'd help us all to perhaps have that spiritual health check, just to sit before you and say, where is my heart before you? May there be encouragements there, Father. But if there are challenges as well, we know that you'll forgive us. We know that you'll draw us in. Help us to come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.